Hello and welcome back to the ups and downs of Nicolas Cage, where every week we talk about the best and the worst Nicolas Cage has to offer. As always, I'm your host, Logan Mock, and today, folks, it is great to be back. I had a bit of an absence there for a while, that is true. A lot of stuff was happening, and I just needed to take a quick break. But I'm back, and I'm back on one of the spookiest days of the year. That's right. Today is Halloween, and I thought it would be more fitting than to come back doing one of Nicolas Cage's best and only horror movies. Pay the Ghost. Pay the Ghost follows Nicolas Cage as Professor Mike Cole after a Halloween carnival. Where his son disappears, he starts to notice some supernatural occurrences happening around town. So he's trying to solve his son's disappearance. And yeah, it's really not good. Now, we need to talk about Nicolas Cage and horror, because I'm not talking about any horror-adjacent BS, like Ghost Rider is not a horror movie, and when people call it that, that's just not true. Also, movies like Between Worlds, where Nicolas Cage bangs his wife, who's actually the daughter of the woman he's dating, that's technically considered horror because there's like spirits or possession. Nah, that's stupid. This is one of like two or three straight spooky horror movies, and I gotta tell you, after watching it, it's really pretty bad. It is such a bland movie. The coloring and like cinematography of the whole movie is just so gray and uninteresting. There's no reason to like it, really. Like, the twists aren't engaging, the whole plot line doesn't make sense, and there's a lot of stuff that happens that we really don't need to see, and by seeing it, lowers the quality of the movie. So it's a typical Nicolas Cage movie, because of those reasons. He does what he can, he like gives off weird energy, like you're not really sure if he wants to be there, but he's still like trying a lot. A lot of the times it doesn't work. Sometimes it's all right, but most of the time it's just this weird man just sort of interacting with other people. So a bit about this movie. And before I get into the movie, I should really quick say, I recently did a collaboration with my friends over at the Film Me In podcast. We talked about horror movies and horror movie questions, so if you want a better discussion about horror movies, if you want to hear about good ones, go over there, because it was a lot more fun, and we talked about good movies, which is rare. Especially with this. But anyway, that's about all I can say about the movie without going into spoiler territory. So, after a brief message from our sponsor, we'll move into that. Alright, Pay the Ghost is a 2015 thriller, sort of supernatural horror movie. It was written by Dan Kay and directed by Uli Edel, probably pronouncing that wrong. Stars Nicolas Cage, Sarah Wayne Callies, and Veronica Ferzi. Didn't do my research how to pronounce the names, but what I do know is that Sarah Wayne Callies, or Callies, whatever, was a main character on The Walking Dead for a time. She was ex-wife of sorts of Rick Grimes, and from what I know about the TV show, she was annoying there, And that might just be an acting choice of hers, because she was annoying and unlikable in this movie as well. We learn about that fairly early on in the movie, but we gotta start with the plot first. Alright, so the movie starts off with a flashback to the late 1600s. And already I don't like the movie, because with supernatural movies, with horror movies in general, I think a big appeal of it is that the main source of, like, oh, what's happening is unknown. That's good to me. I like that. The Thing is one of my favorite horror movies, and like, the huge thing about The Thing is that we don't know what happened at the Norwegian base that they eventually investigate. We see, like, the aftermath of a lot of destruction and, like these burned weird corpses. But we still had, like, a lot of intrigue, like, what's happening, and I can't wait for them to figure it out. What I don't like is when, right off the bat, we get a big clue. Like, obviously, if it's a supernatural thing, and it flashbacks to late 1600s America, it's obviously something to do with the Salem Witch Trials. It's obviously gotta do that, because it's such a common trope in horror movies, that we gotta think of, like, the one time people hated magic in America, Salem Witch Trials. Like, diversify a bit, really. But yeah, we have, like, a minute-long scene. It's just a bunch of kids, like, hiding under the floorboards. One of them idiotically screams once, like, their mother gets hit above the floorboards, and then an axe breaks the floor in the first jump scare of the movie. And let's talk about that for a bit. I scare very easily. I don't enjoy many horror movies because of how often I get scared. Like, obviously I can sit down and, like, appreciate it, but I don't like to be scared, and I scare very easily. It's a very unfortunate set of circumstances. So believe me when I tell you that this was the most boring horror movie out there. Every single jump scare was so quick and so bad and so widely broadcast that it wasn't scary. It was like being told, hey, jump scare is gonna happen, it's gonna be over real quick, I don't want to scare you or anything. Like, come on, that's the whole point, scare me a bit. But they didn't, and it was really boring because of it. Anyway, Nicolas Cage is introduced as a professor who is obsessed a lot with his work. This comes into play a little bit, not really. But what essentially happens is that his son is always like, oh, I want to go trick-or-treating. And the mom says, no, we gotta wait for your dad. And then the dad comes in late and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, son, we'll go trick-or-treating and then carve pumpkins tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and he's late, and it all culminates in him feeling bad about missing a bunch of stuff, so he offers to take the son to a Halloween carnival. And since it is a Nicolas Cage movie, it is very much like a New Orleans carnival with all, like, the fireworks and the beads and, like, the people on stilts, because he loves New Orleans. I don't blame him. The son starts to record with a camcorder, and this is, like, the first of a lot of things that you think will come to play in a big, big way later on, but end up just being stupid, I guess is the only word I can use to describe it, because it's comes up briefly in a scene that doesn't need to exist, but we'll get to that later. And the son starts seeing some creepy things, like a guy pointing at him in a creepy skeleton mask, some really terrible CGI turkey vultures. And I don't know how turkey vultures came to be a scary thing. Like, they're sick. Have you seen them? They've got, like, bald, like, fleshy head, and, like, they vomit up acidic barf. They're sick. They're incredible. I don't know why they're treated as, like, horror movie villains. They're radical. Anyway, Nicolas Cage goes to get his son some ice cream. The son says, "Dad, can we pay the ghost?" And you're like, what the hell is this kid on about? The dad gets the ice cream, and the son vanishes. He just up and disappears. Nicolas Cage runs all around. And then he encounters the worst cop ever. And Nicolas Cage is screaming. He's frantic, like, "I've lost my son. This is his hat. Help me find him." And the cop is just like, "Sir, do you live around here? He probably went back home. Just calm down and leave the area of where your son was." Like, what a bad police officer that is. Like, I feel like that's not what you do. I'm not a police guy, but I assume if there's a man screaming that his son is missing, you don't tell him to go. You don't tell him to leave. Anyway, a lot of boring stuff happens. The wife is being really unlikable. This is where Sarah Wayne Callies brings in her past performances. Because she's like, instead of trying to be compassionate or help look, she's really just sitting down and yelling at Nicolas Cage for doing everything wrong. And like, I get that it's a like horrible tragedy for your child to disappear and that you might blame someone, but she doesn't help look for him at all. So like, I don't really get it. I don't know. Anyway, we flash forward to a year later, a year after Halloween, that little sun boy disappeared. Nicolas Cage is not doing well. His classes are boring because he's distraught with the loss of his son. He's seeing his son on like buses and like hearing his voice. And then he sees something. He sees a old building with graffiti on it that says "Pay the Ghost." Now remember, that's the weird thing that his son said to him before he disappeared. And if you think that that will have some sort of meaningful connection in the future, bad news for you. Don't hold your breath. Nicolas Cage goes inside, and there's a blind guy with the worst, like, dreadlock wig ever. It's really bad and not clearly not real. And like, this is when the boring stuff happens, and it's a shame because the boring stuff is the supernatural, which is the rest of this movie. A weird scream happens inside the abandoned building, and like, fires go crazy, and Nicolas Cage like is so entranced with this blind guy that like this weird demon thing appears behind him and then disappears. It's stupid. It's so stupid. And we learn eventually that Nicolas Cage and his wife have split up because she like blamed him for losing the son, which is not completely unfair. But then she reconciles with him after seeing the son's scooter move on its own and then seeing like a bunch of weird ghosty shit outside her window. So they reconcile, and They both immediately come to the conclusion that some sort of supernatural force has taken their son, and that's the reason he disappeared. Oh, also, there's this other subplot happening with the detective who investigated the son's disappearance and how he is searching for other children. Really not important. So Nicolas Cage and his wife call a psychic to investigate the son's room. Nothing happens until she goes a little crazy and then is like choked, thrown against the wall by some sort of psychic magical force, and she dies. She's got like burn marks all over her hand, and we find out later that she was burned from the inside. Ooh, it's spooky and not relevant at all, because we'll never hear about it again, and there's no reason for it. Then a bit later, Nicolas Cage hears some strange things happening from his wife, so he walks up to her in their son's room, and she starts talking in the son's voice, saying like, "Dad, help me." And I started getting a lot of flashbacks to Between Worlds, which is not a good thing. The wife ends up getting some scarring on her wrist. Again, really not good or interesting stuff happening here. Like, ooh, she got possessed and there's some scarring on her wrist, but then these characters are unlikable and you don't care what happens to them. Like, c'est la vie, she's hurt. Don't care. Then it just goes off the tracks. We start learning about the Celtics, not the sports team, the like actual religious group. There's some weird shit about how there was a Celtic family that used to live in America, and then like they celebrated one of the first Halloweens, and now a bunch of like Celtic worshippers are like still celebrating the first Halloween with like some weird traditions. I watched the movie about 10 minutes before recording this, went right over my head as to what the hell they were even talking about. They tried so hard to explain it, but that's the thing, that like not everything has to be explained, and it loses me is the thing. And I'm a pretty smart guy, not to brag, but I've seen enough Nicolas Cage movies that I should be able to grasp what the basic concept is, and it just loses me. It's just a nothing fest. But this is where the pay the ghost thing comes in. The 1600s family that we saw in the beginning, the mother of the three children, they were burned because of like a plague, and they blamed their Celtic religion for it. But like, you don't care, and it's not really interesting because we already assumed as much from the like witch trial shit that we're all used to. And we find out that she's so upset with her three children dying that every year on Halloween, she put a curse that three children must disappear. Now, this movie came out in 2015, and the actual time that the flashback happened was in 1679. Now, that's about 336 years. And if, like, three children were taken a year on Halloween, that's about 1,000 children that have disappeared. And, like, you think that someone would have made the connection that specifically 3 children a year disappear, you think they would have found that out a long time ago. I understand that other children disappear unrelated to that. I guess it's a bit of a plot point in the movie. But still, someone would have made a connection. Like, huh, back in the 1800s, children would disappear. And it's like, always a group of 3. And like, every family member has said, they said, pay the ghost to them before they disappeared. But no one does it, because this is a alternate universe where everyone is a moron. Except Nicolas Cage, because he reads Macbeth. I know it's like pronounced Macbeth. I always like to say Macbeth, because it's more fun that way. Anyway, if you're wondering where the pay the ghost thing comes in, children at the weird Celtic ritual thing happening burn the dolls that they like, and then by burning them they pay the ghost of the dead witch lady so that they don't take her. It's really stupid. It's just such a payoff that isn't really a payoff, because it's one line and then you're sort of like, oh, that's it. I thought there was more. But anyway, Nicolas Cage goes back to the blind man, and the blind man somehow knows a lot about this weird mystic voodoo bullshit. And he tells him that basically children who were abducted the year before can reach out until 1 year later. So that's why Nicolas Cage and his wife have been hearing and like seeing their son, because he's reaching out. But this is like the one night in this like 2-hour window Nicolas Cage has to get his son back from the spirit world into their world. Otherwise, it's shut off forever. So he goes into a goddamned alternate reality. Yep, they just go into an alternate reality where it's like all spooky, spooky, like there's fog and this weird long bridge. And at this point, you're just tuned out. Your mind has just shut down. It stops trying to care or pretend to know what the hell is going on. Now, Nicolas Cage finds the spooky, scary lady's house, and he goes under the floorboards. And this is like one of the few scenes that's sort of unsettling. It's all of the children that have been taken, again, around 1,000, and, like, they all, like, face him, and it's a little unsettling, because, like, it's a bunch of dead children that are just staring at him. But then, like, they, like, linger on it for too long, and then, like, Nicolas Cage just sort of walks through them, and they're made of smoke or whatever. Anyway, long story short, Nicolas Cage finds his son and the 2 other children that were taken last year. We sort of met, like, their children, or the children's parents beforehand, but it was in, the, like, the subplots that didn't make sense and were boring. Nicolas Cage grabs them, they run back across the bridge, back towards their reality, and this is, like, the worst moment. The ghosts of the spooky lady grabs Nicolas Cage and sort of lifts him up, and the effects for the ghost lady are not horrible, they're pretty interesting, but she just sort of picks him up, and the effects for this movie are already pretty bad, and where they are is just this long bridge against clearly CGI smoke, like you can tell it was a green screen, and then these shitty looking, like, cartoonish almost ghosts just start flying around them, and then, like, they just sort of surround her, the ghosts, because the ghosts were the children's spirits, and they surround her, And then they leave, and that's it. Oh, and the son can't remember anything. They can't remember anything about their time in the limbo world. And there's also a mid-credits scene where the psychic, who I'm sure you remember, who got burned from the inside, she like is possessed. So they were very presumptuous in assuming that anyone would care enough to like get a sequel or something. And that's it. That's Pay the Ghost. Happy Halloween, I guess. I hope this was all you could hope for. But yeah. As for the ratings, geez. I would give this movie a 2 out of 10. And the only reason it's not a 1 is because I don't think it sinks quite to the level of the other 3 ones that I've given. It has to be just a certain level of gut-wrenching horribleness to really get to that level, is what I'm trying to get at. This had enough alright acting from like the detective and some moments from Nicolas Cage that I don't think it can really sink down to a 1. Now, for Cage's acting, I'm gonna give it a 3, only because there are enough alright moments in it. It would have been a 4, except when Nicolas Cage is at the Halloween Carnival, he's wearing this ridiculous cowboy outfit without the hat, so he just looks like this weird country singer type guy. Actually, you know what? I'm giving it a 4 because of that. This man is screaming looking for his son who disappeared, and he is dressed like a country star from the 1960s. It's incredible. Yeah, 4 out of 10 for Nicolas Cage's acting in this. And yeah, that's Pay the Ghost. It's really bad. Don't watch it. Is all I can say. Yeah. And that's it for this episode of The Ups and Downs of Nicolas Cage. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, give it a good rating, whatever platform you listen to it on, because every good rating helps me grow more. Share with your friends and families if you want to. I post every Wednesday. So every week there's going to be something to look forward to. And if you want to stay up to date, follow my Instagram page at Ups and Downs of Nicolas Cage. I look forward to you looking forward to me in the future. So thank you and have a wonderful day.